fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. I'm going to continue today to talk about some of the key themes in this season of Advent as we walk through it together. It's such an important time of the year, and there's a lot of grace to be gathered in these seasons. The church brings us right into the heart of the story. It's interesting because we look at both the beginning of the life of the church and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there's all this eschatological references, all the images of what does that mean? You know, it's really about the end things, what's going to come at the end. And you know, when we leave this life, when Jesus returns again, and the role of the church up until that time. So it's a cosmic view of the church's mission and the reality of the church in this world, which means your mission in the world. It's not just a theological thought. It doesn't refer just to the clergy. It's not some just imaginary story. This is really what's unfolding in human history. It's the drama. It's the drama of all dramas, and you are a part of it, literally. If you've been baptized into Christ, this is your story. Even if you don't know Christ, you're stumbling onto this program, you don't know who he is, listen up, because you are called to this as well. It's important to be able to hear and understand what's going on. Yesterday, I talked about the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And in the reflection I had yesterday, we talked about how Mary is, for us, a sign of the church. What God is doing in the church, he did in an analogous way in Mary. And the destiny that Mary had of now living in glory with Jesus, her son, who she brought into the world, that's our destiny as well, to join Our Lady. She's the first disciple, the first one who made it home and received the glory of her beloved son. He raised her up. Now, it's important we understand when the church describes Mary's utterly unique role, the church is not saying that Mary's divine or that Mary's God. Mary's a creature. Just like me, just like you. But she's a creature who was uniquely graced. Remember, just a couple weeks ago in this season of Advent, we had not only Our Lady of Guadalupe yesterday, we also, on December 8th, had the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the story of how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and its power, its saving work, was applied by God the Father to the life of Mary at her conception, freeing her from the stain of original sin, making her an apt vessel to be able to receive the Holy Spirit and become the mother of Jesus. So part of the reflection of this whole season of Advent and understanding right from the beginning the story of how intimately connected Mary was, the woman, the second Eve, how deeply she's connected to the beginning of the new creation. Where Adam failed to stand, it said Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the second Adam. But Mary is the new Eve. She's the woman, we said yesterday, clothed with the sun. And the Catechism talks about her unique role in paragraph 972. It calls Mary the eschatological icon of the church. She's the sign. The eschatology means the end things. And God, again, is leading the church. Mary, the first of all the disciples, is home. She was assumed into heaven, into the glory. She shares in the glory of Jesus. Everything that Mary does in relationship to the church comes from her being united to Jesus, and it's Jesus, it's God who gives her the power to be able to have this unique and special role. It's all about Jesus, what Jesus has done in her. But here's paragraph 972. After speaking of the church, her origin, mission, and destiny, we can find no better way to conclude than by looking to Mary. In her, we contemplate what the church already is. In her mystery, on her own pilgrimage of faith. What does that mean? Let's take it apart. So we contemplate in Mary. What we see in Mary, as I was saying earlier, is what the church is, what the church is going through. What does that mean, the mystery of the church? That the church is literally born of the Spirit. You remember at Mary's conception, we talked about the Holy Spirit overshadowed her there by a work of God to make it possible for her to be freed from the stain of sin. So the work of the Holy Spirit is redeeming her. It's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work in Mary at her conception. So this work of redemption, this work of salvation begins in her. And of course, when the time came, when the angel Gabriel came, and we'll reflect on that in this season, he came to her and said that she will be with child. because the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and she would conceive within her womb the Messiah, a miracle. And the church is born in her through the action and power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what happens to you in baptism. Christ is born in you. You are literally, the old man in you is put to death, and now you become a temple of the living God. You're born again. You're born again because Christ in you has now brought you from death to life, and you're sharing in what belongs to him. And now, as I said, you literally become a temple of the living God. And as Mary contemplated the presence of her son within her and the miracle of what was unfolding, and she lived with docility and obedience in following the lead of the Holy Spirit in the unique mission she's been given, that's what each and every one of us are called to do. If you're baptized into Christ, the King lives in you, and the new creation has begun, and the mission is beginning to unfold in you, because the great source of that mission, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, the power that moves the church in mission, brings the church to life, is alive in you. And that Holy Spirit, and the Christian life, as the recent Pope, especially Pope John Paul II, said so many times, is it's a matter of being docile to the Spirit. That means teachable, under the guidance, being able to hear and respond to the Lord. And Mary did that in a beautiful, in a perfect way. And so this is the mystery of the church. This reality of giving birth to the Messiah is happening, just as Mary did, right? But in an analogous way. So again, in her, we contemplate what the church already is in her mystery, on her own pilgrimage of faith. This whole journey the church takes us through every year, I've said it many times over the last couple of weeks, beginning now with Advent, celebration of Christmas, we enter into the birth, life, ministry, passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory of the person of Jesus Christ, reigning at the right hand of God the Father. The work of salvation, the Paschal mystery, the mystery of Christ's life. The church keeps walking us through it year after year, so it helps us contemplate the reality of both what's been accomplished in Christ, in Our Lady, in the saints, but also what is meant to happen in your life and mine, because you are on the same pilgrimage of faith. Mary was a pilgrim, like Abraham was a pilgrim. They staked their whole life on God's word to them, God's call in their life. Even though it was so different than everyone else around them, they said yes to God and totally trusted and abandoned themselves to him. They were nomads of faith. That's what you're called to be. That's what I'm called to be. That's why the church has this season of Advent, to remind us who we are, what time we're living in, and what we're called to do with the time that we have. And Mary for us is a constant sign of what we're called to do, what we're called to be. So again, in her, we contemplate what the church already is in her mystery, on her own pilgrimage of faith, and what she will be in the homeland at the end of her journey. What is the church going to be at the end of her journey? The church is going to be sharing in the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul says this beautiful line, it's Christ in you, your hope of glory. You're bound for glory. You're destined for glory. We don't hardly know what that means. We're fallen from glory. We see the fading glory of the world, but we know deep within our hearts that we're made for more. We're made for something more. And that more is sharing in the life of God, and the life of God is filled with glory. God's majesty, his renown, his absolute total power and freedom in glory. Mary's home. She's reigning with her son in glory. And so the whole church will reign with him when we come into the kingdom of God. Such a beautiful thing to contemplate. And in this busy season, it's so easy to not take the time that is so helpful to find a place of quiet, to meditate on these truths that the church is bringing us in this season, and to say, God, who are you? Who am I? How do I fit into this plan? Show me. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, to help it come alive in you, it will absolutely change you. The paragraph goes on. There, in the glory of the most holy and undivided Trinity, in the communion of all the saints, the church is awaited by the one she venerates as the mother of our Lord and as her own mother. We venerate. We don't worship Mary. We venerate her, the special place she has in God's plan and purpose. And we stand in awe of what Jesus, her son, has done in her. She's been glorified. She shares in the glory of God. That's the destiny of the church. That means that's the destiny of every single person who's born again by water and the Spirit into Christ. There is no glory, there's no sharing in God's glory if we remain dead in our sins. Jesus came not just to announce an automatic of what's going to happen for everybody at the end of time. Jesus came literally to make war, Scripture said, to make war on the kingdom of darkness, on Satan himself, to destroy his power that he's exercising over the human race, that through the fall of Adam and Eve and the power and stain of original sin at work in us and our fallen nature, we have been trapped in a different dominion, a different power, the kingdom of darkness, literally under that power. St. Paul talked about it as the reign of sin. And sin reigns in death. Death reigns in sin. They're connected. Sin produces eternal death. Rebellion against God and denying God what belongs to God and choosing the opposite of what he's called us to do destroyed us spiritually. And we're literally spiritually dead. This is why we physically die. Jesus came to make war, to destroy the power of Satan by dealing with the sin problem, which produces the death problem. And so living in this fallen world, the battling against the world of flesh and the devil, is the church. The church is an organic living body made alive with an entirely different life, a life that is nowhere else on the earth. It's the life that comes from Jesus Christ. The life and power that raised him from the dead has been communicated to those who repent, enter the waters of baptism, enter his church, and they're made alive in Christ. So, as Mary was uniquely touched by the Holy Spirit, in her case, as I said, she was protected from the stain of original sin. But she was made alive by Christ. She was made alive by God. God put his power, his Spirit, into her to work through her so she could enter ultimately into God's plan, purpose for her and enter into glory. And now Christ is in you, and you are, Christ in you is, as St. Paul said, the hope of glory, the confident expectation that your life is headed for glory. That's God's plan and purpose for you. Alleluia. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.